Good morning. This is the Tuesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. 4341790, that's our call number. 266-4862 is our WhatsApp number. You can send a message to that number, or you can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. John Stout is our technical operator producer today. Dennis Johnson, your host. We go until 2 this afternoon. And the politics of illusion, the politics of what's called inclusion, and the politics of delusion. I don't know which one you would ascribe to what, but I know in the US, perhaps the politics of illusion continues to play out. It was Owen Arthur who had the politics of inclusion. It seems that our current prime minister has learned from him and is also practicing the politics of inclusion. And there seems to be some delusion as well, with others opting out of the political sphere. The leader of the Solutions, Barbados, opting out after the by-election. And now we see the former General Secretary of the Democratic Labour Party also bowing out of politics. Raises the question, what's the desire for politics in Barbados? Because you also have, according to Mr. Wickham and his polls and assessment, a continued decline in the number of persons turning out to vote at elections. And if you continue to have that, the question is, are we disillusioned with politics the way we practice it? Or are we disillusioned with the candidates? Or what the parties are offering? Or are we just satisfied with the way things are? Has an analysis been done as to what drives the various reasons for the low turnout? In other words, talking to the people and asking them their views. There's a gentleman who calls this program from time to time who talks about a new way to represent the people. We've had differences on it, but I don't disagree with him that we need a change. And with the prospect of us becoming a republic, the question therefore is, should we have a revamp of our political system, or should we just change names for the sake of changing names and continue to do what we always did in the hope that we will somehow have a different result? The answer, they say, is blowing in the wind, I suppose. Brass Tacks, good morning.
A blessed and a rainy morning to you, my brother. How are you?
I am all right, until I hear otherwise. And you?
I am blessed with showers of blessing today.
That's a good thing to be.
No, Mr. Johnson, unfortunately, I am not going to go down your road this
morning. All right. Nobody has to go down my road, sir. I have to go down my road by myself.
No, I would have gone down it. But you see,
that's all right, man. Don't worry.
I did economics at school under a gentleman called Winston Clark. I think he's a senior teacher at Sam Primary School now.
Okay.
And they have something called a scale of preference.
Mm-hmm.
And you always put what is the most significant
of top.
Words.
Correct. Of top. Makes sense.
Now, I consider myself to be a very intelligent and a common sense person. You know, I normally got a problem with common sense and an educated person.
Yeah, so you tell me.
Unfortunately, I watched part of the program yesterday with the taking down of Nelson. And let me tell you something, Mr. Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
That was the most hurtful, disgraceful thing I've ever saw in my life. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I took a leaf and a hearing and a doing for Mr. Ellis. Do your homework.
Okay.
What hurt me most is when I saw women and men dressed in white with a rope round the hand and a crying out. Because when it told me that we have not changed our identity. Because Nelson could stay because we are still in slavery. The white man beating me and the black man beating me. So why move Nelson? Politics killing me. Education killing me because the time you want and doing something different. You're working for the black man, he robbing you. You're paying your VAT, it going back to the white man and the black man. So tell me, where are we today, Mr. Johnson? Because that is what is hurting me. And if we can have a discussion, I will tell you have a pleasant and a blessed and a wonderful day.
Okay, sir. I hope you make it through the pain and suffering. Slavery, sir, was a dehumanizing episode in the history of the Caribbean where people were sold as chattel. They were not considered to be human. They were sold as property. And their basic needs, I suppose, outside of food and perhaps some element of clothing, and maybe you might add shelter if you considered the roof over their head, was about it. They had no rights, no freedoms. If the owners felt like enjoying your wife or your daughter or both tonight, he took them and sent them back when he felt like it, sometimes with child, sometimes without.
What is the difference today?
The difference today, sir, is that you have the choice of subjecting or rejecting what is put your way. Back then, you didn't have a choice to reject it. You had to take it.
Dennis,
yeah.
Let me ask you something. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you move around. But from where
I don't, actually.
Good. But unfortunately, I happen to be moving around. And the rumors that is going about how women is being treated if they ask for money and what they have to do. And then when you got bought during the COVID time, people work hard as hell, and then you send them home. So that is why I say there's no difference from yesterday to today.
I understand why you said it. You know what I'm trying to do is to tell you the parallel you draw, there's a lot of space in between it. If you say that certain rights that have been fought for over the years being eroded, I would not say no. If you say that certain things we've fought and achieved and attained and the respect we have earned is being eroded today, I would not say no. If you tell me that there are certain happenings in the workforce that cause you to question whether or not we have held on to all we've achieved, I would agree with you. But if you take it back to we're still slaves, as I said, mental slavery, I suppose, still exists because there are people whose minds are chained to illusions and who are perhaps lost in some twilight zone. I have not experienced slavery. I've only read about the experiences. And I hope that my current existence, even though not satisfactory, is somewhat a little better than it was for my four parents, because I don't quite feel the need to walk off a cliff and die as opposed to bend under the yoke. So, you know, I can't make that comparison from this distance. But I can tell you, I'm concerned about some of the things that are being eroded by the current prevailing climate, especially in commerce.
But Dennis, I think I brought it to the height. Mm-hmm. I will leave it there.
Agreed.
And for anybody that wants to challenge it, you have a pleasant and a blessed day, sir.
You too, buddy. Thanks. And just to let you know, a flash flood warning is in effect for Barbados from 8 o'clock this morning, and it will be updated at noon or sooner if conditions warrant. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hello, hi, good morning, DJ.
Hey, morning, sir.
How are you doing, man?
I'm all right, how are you?
I'm not too bad. I just becoming a habit now.
What? Picking up your phone and calling again?
I talking to you regular, man.
Oh, all right, well, that happens.
Good. Anyway, Dennis,
uh-huh.
I want to touch on just a few little things. You know me, I don't go too deep, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to touch on politics.
Mm-hmm.
I want to touch on the renaming of the West Stand. and I want to touch on Horatio Nelson. I can touch on the, I can left the politics for last. I can touch on the bus stand. The Prime Minister yesterday clingballed me. I mean, she licked all three stunts from behind me when I was at the crease. Mm-hmm. Because if the Prime Minister or anybody asked me who the bus stand, the Fairside Street bus stand, should have named after, I sure a lot of people would say Vic Johnson. I sure a lot of people would say Gearbox or something like that, right? Because a lot of people make the bus stand their home too. Or some famous conductor or driver. But when she pulled this one out the hat yesterday, or her committee pulled this one out the hat and said Granville Williams, I think it is appropriate. I remember many moons ago going up Fairside Street to see Granville Williams and his church, right? Execute their way of worship. And it always, I mean, you cannot stand up and listen to the chanting and don't move a foot. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it is well appropriate. And I support the naming, not renaming, the naming of that bus stand in the honor of Granville Williams. I took my hat off to Prime Minister Motley for that gesture, and I hope that she meaning the Prime Minister, get the support to bring about that reality, because Granville also played a major part of Barbados culture in his message and his religion. You know, you always talk about the tight head religion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is the Spiritual Baptist. So I think it's appropriate, and she got my 100% support on that. Going on to little politics now. I often say, even though I jump off of the Democratic Labour Party bandwagon,
mm-hmm.
and jump into the bosom of the Barbados Labour Party, I said that I leave a few people behind that is my friends, that still remain in the Democratic Labour Party. Chris Sinclair, Ronald Jones, and George Pilgrim. I want to say here now, wherever or whatever decision George Pilgrim made in terms of his political future, right? I know it is something that is well thought out. George Pilgrim don't just do things because he wake up one morning and feel an itch. He's a statistic fella. He carefully analyzes what is happening around him. And I want to wish my friend, George Pilgrim, all the best in his future endeavors. And I hope the grass is greener wherever he decides to graze. That's enough of that, right?
You think he's grazing somewhere?
Or
he's
just delusional? I don't know.
But weren't you a part of his entourage at one point? You could ask him a question.
Of course. Yeah. I am a big supporter of George Pilgrim, man.
Well, I know that, which is why I asked him. Why you ask him?
Because I am saying this to you. I would not bombard George at this time. I sure there would be times enough that I could ask George something along that line. But I am not going to call George at this time. I'm not going to get into his head at this time.
Hmm.
But I just want him to know. I just want him to know wherever he go, whatever he decide to go, or whatever he decide to do with his political career, right? If he plan to continue it, if he plan to shift gears, I support George Pilgrim, because that is what you do to friends. You support them. Okay?
No, but let me ask you this question, though. Huh? Looking at his history with elective politics and the fact that he's not been able to make a substantial impact.
You mean to win a seat?
Well, to win a seat.
Oh,
Okay. Which is how you judge the impact of someone in politics. Whether it's the right way or the wrong way, that's how we do it. Do you think a friend should tell him, I agree with you for giving it up, or, you know, you plan to do something else? Take, for example, David Comejong, who has been in more than one political party, but has not won a seat. He's been in the Senate, but he's not won a seat. He now does something else. He's still involved in the political life, but not in elective politics. Let me put it that way. And there are others who have transitioned, or other young men who have transitioned out of elective politics, but still contribute. There are some names I don't hear anymore that I wonder where they are, but that's just my wonder. The reason why I started off by asking about the politics of delusion and finding out if there are people who may have a contribution to make, but who are disillusioned by the way elective politics works today and what's happening to them. Because if you have a situation where people like David Comejong, George Connolly, well, they've moved into another political party, so they're still in a party. But people who are moving away from the elective side of politics and drifting to where we don't know. The question is, are we losing young talent, or is it no big loss, as some have made the comment, that, you know, he ain't win a seat here, he ain't win a seat there, so what's the big thing?
I would say this to you, Dennis. I don't think that nobody that know the worth of George Pilgrim and know the quality of man George Pilgrim play or not play, because he didn't play anything, perform in the Democratic Labour Party. I don't think anyone in their right senses would ever say that George Pilgrim would not be missed. I think the Democratic is worse off, the Democratic Labour Party is worse off this morning with George Pilgrim
gone,
not at this site. That is my thing, and because I know the man worth, his organizing skills. And let me say this thing to you. I've been hearing a few things up under the grapevine because I'm not a part
of the apparatus
Democratic
anymore.
Labour Party. So whatever I heard would have to be something that dropped, not even off the truck. I probably they're rolling down the river or something. Look, let me say this. George Pilgrim know why he gone. Because I've been hearing something.
I presume he knows why. And if I
probably was in George's shoes,
you would have done the same thing?
I would say, you know something, enough is enough. Even in the last election day that just passed last week, I've been hearing a few things that was not complimentary of George.
Okay.
Right? And all I know of George is George deep-seated in the Democratic Labour Party and his DNA, I believe, if you cut it, if you pinch it or anything so, and you're looking for blood, it can bleed DLD.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe so. Okay.
Fear you.
So George has to be a big loss for the Democratic Labour Party.
Right.
Don't make no joke about it.
Okay.
Let me touch to your friend now, because you smart. You, Dennis Johnson, smart.
Take that as a compliment.
You realize that Nelson, they're getting wet, so you can't put it in the wall house.
I won't put it there, though. I have too many memories of that place to put it there.
But
I have fond memories of that block, boy.
Let me think, because, I mean, we grew accustomed to a statue at the top of Broad Street.
We have?
We grew accustomed to a statue at the top of Broad Street for all of my life.
You.
The man that they... The statue was there for the last 200 or so years.
The pigeons are asking where the pooper gone.
Pardon me?
The pigeons are asking where the toilet gone. Sorry.
I want to say to you, though, and I want to ask you a question. Because David said yesterday we got to come up with creativeness. Not creative, we regular cars. We got to think. So let me ask a moderator now, right? How you replace Nelson with?
I would.
Because David watching you too, you know.
He could watch
me. I don't think that David would pick up the call, picking up the moderator.
He could pick up me if he wanted.
So bring your creative for this worth now, buddy.
I won't put a statue at all.
Will you put? Will you put?
I would put a monolith. What?
You shortlisted.
Me? No, man. I would put a monolith. I would put a monolith, like the one that we have at the cenotaph with the names of the soldiers and the people who died. Mm-hmm. I would put one there with the national heroes, a bronze replica of their face, an inscription below it of who they are, right down each side, make it, I don't know, five-sided one, six-sided one, three-sided one. I couldn't care less what it was. I would replace it with a monolith. I'll tell you why. There's always a reason why I say things. You ask and I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
We have a statue representing the right excellent Frank Walcott in front of the NIS building.
Mm-hmm.
We have a statue of the right excellent
Albert.
Sir Grantley Adams in front of government headquarters that we plan to turn into a hotel so he might come down. We have the right excellent Earl Walton Barrow in Independence Square. So unless we plan to move all the... We have a emancipation statue that we call Busser because we don't know what Busser looked like. It was called the emancipation statue. We rename it Busser. We have the right excellent Sir Gary Sobers in front of Kensington Oval, and we put in Sir Wesley Hall next to him, although he's not a national hero yet. So unless we plan to put all the national heroes around Independence Square or National Heroes Square or designate the whole area, going back to the Clement Payne area where we have the new park to go, unless we plan to do that, to me, a monolith with all the names on it, because we don't know who can do a statue of Sarah Ann Gill and how much it can cost. You see, I am looking at how we designate. I don't like the fact that we put pictures of some people up against the old thing building and then take it down and put it up and take it down. I was never for that.
I never see the relevance of that.
Good. So my thing is, and we have statues of national heroes. What's written under Errol Barrow's statue? You know?
You know under
Sir Grantley Adams' statue?
I never pay any attention.
Exactly. That's my point. So if you're going to have something on national heroes, at least have born X date, died X date, was so.
Nothing big and long. I'm not saying that it's not there, but Dennis, let me hit you with this one.
No, go ahead.
Many years ago, Gabby, I think it's Mighty Gabby, sing a song, take down Nelson and put up a Bajan man. I would say to you now, I know that Nelson is down. I would not take Gabby's advice and put up a Bajan man.
Okay.
I would take Gabby's advice, however, and put up a Bajan. But the oldest person right now that gives back to Barbados, even though not living in Barbados or not making anything out of Barbados, and give carelessly back to Barbados, Rihanna Robin?
Her name is Robin Fenty.
Fenty is the name Robin Fenty. I will put up Rihanna as a symbol, a true patriot of Barbados, and I believe that a young woman like Rihanna Fenty, Robin Rihanna Fenty, I think is the most fitting stature as a beacon, right, that should be stand tall in our city because, as you know, if the hospital, Arthur Liver Hospital, needs anything, and indeed Barbados, whether it's Cool Children, whether it's the hospital, like I say, and I sure different other charities would have asked Rihanna, I think it is only fitting to put up Rihanna in the heart of our city. I sure you would like that too.
No.
All right, buddy.
No.
Thanks a lot for entertaining me, though.
Okay, sir.